I'm Malcolm Cox. In the Northwest London Christian Church, we are preaching and teaching through the book of Hebrews. Those lessons can't cover all the details, of course, so these podcasts are digging a bit deeper. And today we're in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 16 and 17. They read, "See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears." When Hebrews chapter 12, the writer continues his description of the significance of godly discipline, God's discipline to us, and the impact upon our faith, depending on our reaction to this calling that we have to be here, God's children. He talks about Esau here. Esau, of course, is not recorded as being immoral, so perhaps the linking with sexual immorality with the godlessness of Esau could be a later tradition, or perhaps it's about the prostitution of his birthright, or maybe referring to a situation in the church that he's writing to that the readers all knew about and the writer did not have to elaborate on. Perhaps that's also connected with Hebrews 13:4, when he says, "Marriage should be honoured by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Perhaps this immorality in the church is likened to the situation with Esau to provoke a reaction of outrage or incredulity. That's right, how foolish Esau was, they might be thinking. But then the writer's effectively saying, well, how foolish are you to not take sexual immorality seriously in the church? Everyone would agree that Esau was a fool. Likewise, the church tolerating such sin is foolish. As Esau should have been alert to the temptations of his flesh, so should the church." You can find the story of Esau related in Genesis 25, particularly verses 31 to 34, the interaction between Jacob and Esau. Consequences are also found in Genesis 26 and Genesis 28. There was no way back for Esau, though he did want to reclaim his right. The phrase here is literally, he found no opportunity for repentance. He couldn't find a way back, and perhaps this also refers to the earlier passages in Hebrews, Hebrews 6:4 and Hebrews 10:26, which talk about the fact that those who fall away cannot be brought back to repentance. In verse 17, it says, "Though he wanted to inherit this blessing, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected." The word "rejected" in the Hebrew can mean he was declared disqualified. Esau found no way back from his decision. And surely the readers must learn from this how serious apostasy is, going back on their earlier devotion to Jesus Christ, in other words, and not count upon an easy return to Christianity in more convenient times. So we need to be careful. We need to be careful that we take sin seriously in our own lives. We need to be careful that we take it seriously in our church community. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, it says, "So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall." It is too easy sometimes to think that we're standing firm just because we go to church, or just because we have a belief, or just because we've some other sign of being a Christian. It's about the heart. And the book of Hebrews is very much about the heart. And here the writer has his pastoral concern shining forth as he's concerned that his readers will keep the right kind of heart. Well, next time we'll go on to verse 18. Until then, if you'd like to know more about our church, you can find us at nwlcc.org. My email is malcolm.cox@iccmissions.org, and my Twitter feed is mccx. If you'd like to find us in iTunes, you'll find us there if you type mccx into the search bar and look under podcasts. Until the next time, I hope you have a wonderful day, and God bless.